Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Well, we've been a leader in online education in Kentucky for over a decade.
Maysville Community and Technical College ranked nationally for online programs.
A Round County lawmaker is pushing for free community and technical college.
A Kentucky political organization is closing up shop.
The first gubernatorial debate has been scheduled.
A Moorhead man has published a new book.
In sports, the Round baseball and softball teams are in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And showers tonight with a low around 51 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Maysville Community and Technical College has been ranked number one among Kentucky community and colleges for online programs. In addition to the number one ranking in the state, MCTC was ranked 14th nationally. In order to develop the 2019 Best Online Community College Rankings, the SR Education Group only considered states with at least three regionally accredited schools offering at least one full online associate degree. All ranked schools scored 70% or higher. Thomas Ware is the chief academic officer for MCTC. He says the offering online courses gives students an opportunity they would not have otherwise.
We do a lot of face-to-face classes. We do hybrid classes, which is sort of a combination of face-to-face and online, as well as your traditional online classes, which means you don't go to class, you do all your work at your own pace, which really suits a lot of students because many students have transportation problems. They work at times when we have our day classes or our evening classes. They can't find the time to go to school.
For more information about the online offerings at MCTC, you can visit maysville.kctcs.edu.
One of Kentucky's gubernatorial hopefuls says, if elected, he wants to offer free education for Kentucky students at community and technical colleges across the state. The proposed legislation would cost the Commonwealth of Kentucky an estimated $15 to $20 million per year and be paid through various sources. State Representative Rocky Adkins is running for the Democratic nomination in the state's governor's race. He announced the plan, which would make community and technical college tuition free for some high school graduates.
We better do it. 17 other states have already done it. If we're going to compete and have a qualified, trained workforce out there, and I can sit down as governor and say, we can do this for you, and we're doing this initiative now, puts you at a big competitive advantage. It really does.
Adkins said he intends to work close with college boards and directors to help shape a new legislation to be implemented if he is elected governor. He is running against Adam Edelin, Andy Beshear, and Joffrey Young in the May primary.
Student protesters at the University of Kentucky have ended their protest after UK President Eli Cavalluto released comments satisfying the students' demands. WKYT reports the student groups were trying to raise awareness about complaints they say affect low-income and black students at UK, like food, housing insecurity, and racism on campus. Many students gave heartfelt testimonies during the day's meetings. Cavalluto says the university will be making some changes.
We committed to try to do more and to do better and to move at a quicker pace. That's what we did today. And that should always be our concern, doing the right things for the right reasons.
According to Cavalluto, based on these comments, students with both the Basic Needs Campaign and Black Student Advisory Council agreed to leave the main building and end their hunger strike.
An initiative aimed at rehabilitating politics in Kentucky is winding down. The New Kentucky Project is co-founded by former state auditor and current gubernatorial candidate Adam Edelin, is reportedly closing up shop. The effort, also spearheaded by Kentucky sports radio host Matt Jones, aimed to reinvent Democratic politics by bringing in new voices, expanding grassroots outreach, and fostering a stable of new Democratic candidates in an increasingly red state. Edelin says the decision to end the project was driven by economics. This is Edelin in 2017.
We got a lot going, and it's all about trying to take the information that people need to win the kitchen counter debate, getting it to them. It's about training people to step up and be the next generation of leaders in Kentucky, because Lord knows we need them.
The initiative did successfully recruit new leaders, though it may have fallen short of its goal of creating more conversations between Republicans and Democrats.
The first scheduled debate of the 2019 Kentucky gubernatorial primary may be decidedly one-sided. As WUKY's Josh James reports, only one candidate has confirmed so far.
The Louisville debate, dubbed Black Votes Matter, will be hosted by the Student Government Association of Simmons College. Its focus, quote, closing the racial wealth gap and other issues. While all candidates have reportedly received invites, former state auditor Adam Edlin may be the lone hopeful to take the stage. A spokesperson for House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins said he would be unable to attend because he will be at a ceremony marking the 51st anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. Attorney General Andy Beshear's campaign said it had a prior commitment and tried to work out a new date, but organizers opted to stick with the original schedule. A spokesperson said the Democrat looks forward to, quote, the robust forum and debate schedule in the coming weeks. Responding to the candidate reactions, Louisville writer Hannah Drake tweeted that, quote, if you cannot attend this event, don't come begging for the black vote months from now. The debate is set for tomorrow at 6 p.m. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The gubernatorial candidate, Andy Beshear, called out Rate Intervention, a group from his own office, for violating an Open Records Act. Beshear made a statement on Facebook Monday about the group, whose goal is to lower electric bills for Kentuckians. Beshear said corrective measures have been taken.
We've gotten additional training to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And what you can always trust from me is I'm going to do the right thing. Whether one of these violations happens in one of our counties, in one of our cities, in another part of state government, or even in a unit that operates under me. Full transparency, always willing to tell you if we made a mistake and fix it.
Beshear said to do his job the right way, he must hold everyone accountable.
The annual Gateway Regional Arts Center student art show deadline has been extended. The show will now begin on April 12th and will continue through the 14th. Jeanette Tesmer is the executive director of the Gateway Regional Arts Center. She says the art show works like this.
It'll be on display for the weekend, and then we will have a series of judges that will select winners from each category and each grade, and those will be on display in the gallery for the rest of April.
The cost to enter is $1 for each entry. For more information, visit the Arts Center's Facebook page.
An award-winning columnist, editorial writer, and retired publisher, Keith Capis, will be promoting his new book, The View from My Keyboard, next week. The book is a compilation of stories Capis has written over the years, containing a total of 125 weekly columns. The book took Capis nearly 3 years to put together, having to choose among more than 400 columns in his tenure as publisher and as a freelance contributor.
That company suggested I put a book together of my favorite columns, or ones that people had liked, and that's really where the book came from.
The book is priced at $20 and is available locally at Coffee Tree Books, the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, Moorhead Visitor Center, and the MSU Bookstore. Capis will be at Coffee Tree Books on Saturday, April 13th from 1 to 3 p.m. for a meet and greet and to sign copies of the book.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour, or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A Laurel County family mourned the loss of a one-year-old boy yesterday evening. Cash Brock died in a Laurel County house fire early Saturday morning. Cash's father, Vaughn Brock, was arrested and charged with arson and the murder of his son. The family held a visitation service on Wednesday. Charlena Jones is Cash's grandmother. She says she can't help but feel a sense of guilt, even though his death was not her fault.
I was going to go pick him up Wednesday, And I felt bad and was sick, and I didn't go. And I just feel like if I'd went, he would still be alive today.
The funeral for Cash was held this morning at the Community Harvest Church in Buckhorn.
Authorities have released new information concerning that fire. According to WYMT, police found the one-year-old's body inside the washing machine in his father's home. Brock says he fell asleep on the couch after smoking a joint, and when he woke up, his son was no longer beside him, and there was smoke everywhere. Brock told detectives he does not know why his son would be in the washing machine and said he would like to speak with a lawyer before moving on with the interview. He is currently charged with murder, arson, wanton endangerment, and public intoxication. He is being held in the Laurel County Detention Center on a $500,000 cash bond.
A Greenup County man facing sex abuse charges made his first appearance in court on Wednesday. 32-year-old Kevin Bowling faces multiple charges, including rape, sodomy, and sexual abuse. Bowling was arrested at his home in Flatwoods on March 25th, hours after the alleged victim confided in an adult at school, saying Bowling and his girlfriend had abused her multiple times. The victim said on one occasion they gave her illicit substances until she passed out. Bowling is being held in the Greenup County Detention Center, and the child is with social services.
A Magoffin County woman was arrested this morning after a social worker says she hit a child with a piece of wood. The person accused of the attack is 60-year-old Rose Arnett of Salyersville. When Kentucky State Police went to Arnett's home, an anonymous source told KSP Arnett hit the child on the head 2 to 3 times with the piece of wood. The child still had scabs from the encounter. The child told KSP he would be locked in his bedroom for long periods of time and would have to use a coffee can in order to urinate. Arnett admitted she used a switch to discipline him, and she says she locked the child in the bedroom to prevent him from stealing from the home.
All charges have been dropped against an Egyptian man accused of kidnapping a child at the Huntington Mall Monday night. A mother said Mohammed Zayan accused the man. Excuse me. A mother said that Mohammed Zayan was grabbing her 5-year-old daughter by the hair and attempted to drag her out of the mall on Monday. According to WSAZ, Zayan was taken into custody that evening but has since been released after prosecutors reviewed the case and the evidence. Zayan's attorney said there's absolutely no evidence to support the claims made against him, especially since the mother changed her story several times, saying it must have been a, quote, cultural misunderstanding, and he might have only been patting her daughter on the head. The prosecutor is currently in contact with the Barboursville police about any charges that may be filed against the mother.
An Amber Alert issued for a missing Kentucky teen on Tuesday has been canceled. WKYT reports 16-year-old Lauren Sizemore and her step-grandfather, Glenn Harper, were found in Orange Beach, Alabama. Sizemore was last seen in her bedroom late Friday night and went missing Saturday morning. Orange Beach police found the pair. Authorities are uncertain if Sizemore went willingly with Harper or if she was taken. Harper is being held in an Alabama jail without bond. Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight showers mainly after 3 a.m. with a low around 51. Tomorrow, showers with a high near 67. Tomorrow night, a 10% chance of showers before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a low around 51. On Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high near 71. On Saturday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 53. And on Sunday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms possible, mostly cloudy with a high near 77 degrees.
You're listening to Mountain Edition here on WMKY. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson. And like each day, we're coming to you live here from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. A quick reminder, we wanted to let you know that we are in the midst of our spring fundraiser and membership drive here at Morehead State Public Radio. If you value locally produced news and sports stories, if you love hearing the feature segments we have here on Mountain Edition, the commentary that we have, please give us a call and support us. Make sure that we can continue to bring you the programming that you know and love. Give us a call, 606-783-2001, or you can go online to WMKY.org under the Support Us tab. Hit that button. It'll take you to a secure pledge form, and then shoot us an email to let us know that you have major donation. Now, right now, we're working on a really important donation. It's a $5,000 challenge grant. And the deal is, if we can raise $5,000 from our other members within the community, not asking for one person for $5,000, but if each of us band together and put money towards this $5,000 goal, then we have a very generous anonymous donor within the community who is going to give us an additional $5,000. And what that does is that helps us make sure that you have locally produced news and sports coverage throughout the day. We start here, they like to say, dark and early for morning edition, and students come in and some part-time people come in to make sure that you have the news and the sports early in the morning as you're getting ready for work, as you're on your way and begin your day at your desk. We're right here. We're also here in the midday cast and again in the afternoon and evening as well to make sure you know exactly what's happening in our community. Now, Kinsey here with me today has been with Morehead State Public Radio for 3 years now, I believe.
Three and a half years.
And she's getting ready to graduate on us. We've got her for a couple more months before she goes off on her adulting adventures. But in the meantime, Kinsey, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I want to ask you, can you think, in the time that you've been here, what's your most favorite story you've been able to cover?
I don't know if I can pick a story in particular, but I think my favorite type of story is a feature, and I didn't start doing them until this past year when, mm-hmm. when you finally made me do it and get out of my comfort zone. But for those of you who don't know what goes into a feature, you get to do the story all by yourself, pretty much. With a lot of the stories that we do, if I come in here, Leanne will have a story that she'll give me. She's already maybe done the interview, or there's a story online that I can look for. But with a feature, you get to do something that you want to do on your own, or, you know, an event going on in the area. But it's a lot different than the usual cut copy where you have to do a long interview and then only pick a small segment. So with a feature, you get to do a longer story, you get to really put the work into it, and it's really rewarding, I think, having done those and looking back and knowing that you didn't just find it online or no one gave it to you or did it for you. You did the whole interview, which for a feature is much longer than a normal interview, and you get to put the whole story together and then see it come to life and be featured for Mountain Edition or Midday or whatever. But
now that's something that Kinsey started doing recently. And, you know, she started out with just maybe writing what we call a reader and then has progressed from there. Her progression is part of the education that she's been able to get here at Morehead State University. While she is getting her degree, she's been working on getting new skills working here at MSPR. And that way, when she goes out into the world very, very soon, after she has that degree in hand, she's also going to have a pretty impressive resume, because she's going to be able to say, yes, I hosted a 30-minute live show. Yes, I interviewed people. Yes, I write every day. And that is an impressive feat and some skills that she's been able to hone right here. And if you think that that is important, if you want to help us continue that tradition, give us a call right now, 606-783-2001, or online at MSU Radio. That's our old web address. Our new web address is WMKY.org. And we're going to have sports from Shaw Marie Mosley right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Downtown Grounders are back in action tonight. Good afternoon. I'm Shamari Mosley, and this is WMKY Sports.
The Round County baseball team is back in action this evening. The 8-3 Vikings head to Prestonsburg to take on the 2-4 Black Cats. Rowan is coming off of a 6-1 loss to Montgomery County that snapped the team's 5-game winning streak. Prestonsburg got back in the win column yesterday with a 12-11 victory over Bret Hick County, ending their 4-game skid. First pitch is set for 6 p.m. tonight. Taking a look at the 16th region baseball action tonight. Russell takes on Knott County Central. Raceland faces United Christian Academy. Boyd County battles Franklin Simpson, and Ashland Blazer takes on DeSales. Those games will take place as part of the Cal Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Fairview takes on Davies County and Henry County in doubleheader action at the Fort Walton Beach Bash in Florida. West Carter hosts Menifee County, Lewis County travels to Central Hardin, and Morgan County hosts Frederick Douglass. The Round County softball team is back in action tonight. The 3-3 Vikings play host to Morgan County. The Lady Cougars are 5-7 on the season, coming off of a win over Bret Hick County on the road Tuesday. Rowan head coach Larry Sloan says his team is feeling confident going into tonight's game.
You know, we should be able to win the ball game against Morgan. They haven't shown a lot of good pitching, and we should be able to hit the ball well.
Rowan goes into tonight's game with a slight disadvantage. Number 2 pitcher Aaron Wilburn has been benched with an injury. Game time tonight is set for 6 p.m. In other regional softball action today, Bath County took down Ballard Memorial 6-1 at the Cal Ripken Experience in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Ashland Blazer at the Cal Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach, they fell to Pulaski County today 4-0. East Carter is set to face off with Knox Central this afternoon, and Boyd County plays Lynn Camp and Raceland faces off with Ohio County. The Morehead State University softball team is gearing up to return to Ohio Valley Conference action tomorrow. The Eagles host Belmont Friday afternoon for a doubleheader. MSU stands at 2-25 on the season. Head coach Samantha Jones says the Bruins will be a tough team to beat.
They're competing really well in the conference, and we got to be able to hit, we got to play the defense, and we got to pitch. So we got to do all three things to probably get some good W's out of Belmont.
First pitches fly at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon in Moorhead. The games will be streamed on ESPN Plus, and live statistics will also be available on MSUEagles.com. The Moorhead State Beach Volleyball team is gearing up for 4 games this weekend at the Conway Classic in South Carolina. The 11-4 Eagles won 5 of their 6 matches at home. On Friday, the team will face off with Coastal Carolina at 11 a.m. They will then meet Jacksonville State at 1 p.m. The 3 teams square off again Saturday. MSU meets Jacksonville State at 8 a.m. and then Coastal Carolina at 2. All 4 games are part of the Atlantic Sun Conference. The Eagles joined the league as an associate member prior to the 2019 season. Fans can follow along with the action by following at MSU Eagles BVB on Twitter and Instagram for updates throughout the day. The warm weather is here just in time for the opening day of Keeneland Spring Meet. LEX18 reports there are big plans for opening weekend, including Central Bank Thursday night live at 7 p.m. and Friday is College Scholarship Day. Amy Gregory is the Director of Communications at Keeneland. She says College Scholarship Day is a great opportunity for college students.
If you're a full-time college student, come out and register. We're giving away two $10,000 scholarships that day, plus a $1,000 scholarship after each of the day's races.
Gates open at 1 p.m. Thursday, and the first race is at 3 p.m. Every other race day, gates open at 11 a.m., and the first race starts at 1 p.m. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts SIU Edwardsville at 5 o'clock tomorrow, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Softball hosts Belmont for a doubleheader tomorrow afternoon starting at 2 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials and S&P both rose as investors waited for more news on a potential trade deal between China and the U.S., and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 156.50 at 26,384.63. The S&P 500 was up 5.99 at 2879.39, and the NASDAQ Composite was actually down 3.77, finishing at 7891.78. The NASDAQ, or I should say materials and energy sectors, both outperformed within the S&P. The NASDAQ was pressured as Tesla shares were under extreme pressure today, which hurt the overall NASDAQ average. Earlier this morning, it was reported that President Trump expected to announce the date of a trade summit with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, and that this announcement would probably come later today, and this lifted market sentiment. But later it was reported that that sticking points like enforcement mechanisms on any agreed-upon deal do remain an issue. Tesla shares, as mentioned, under pressure, down over 8% after the company said it delivered fewer than expected Model 3 cars in the first quarter. Facebook shares rose 1.4% after an analyst upgraded the social media company to buy from neutral, citing stable user trends and investors feeling more comfortable with the company's privacy issues. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.6% today, and gold was up 0.2%. In Europe, stocks were slightly weak, as the Stoxx 600 index was down 0.25%. In Asia, most markets were up, with the Shanghai Composite up almost 1%, and South Korea's Kospi index finished with a gain of 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow and Boeing, while the worst performers were Merck and Walgreens. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Constellation Brands and Macy's, and the worst performers were Fortinet and Take-Two Interactive. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Delta Airlines up 24 cents at $57.24, Dollar General up 2 at $120.17, AK Steel up 5 cents at $2.88, Community Trust Bank up 52 cents at $41.91, Marathon Petroleum up 99 cents at $61.37, and Humana was up $7.57 to finish at $271.33. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. Give us a call right now to contribute to our spring fund drive and membership drive, 606-783-2001, or online at WMKY.org. Call and make that pledge right now. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Keneally Roberts, Haley Stidham, Nacogdoches Miller, Naya Ndweza, Grant Johnson, Brian Courtney, Tandy Wallingford, Cassidy Stearman, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.